brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. Yes, I know. I know. I should be sleeping. I do not, but I'm not. I really, really should. But you know, there's just been something going on. Not just with me, I know with a bunch of you guys out there you've been writing in. There's been sort of an agitation in your spirit. You can't put your finger on it. You don't know what's going on, but it's just like there's a burr under the saddle or something. You don't know what's up. Yeah, I've been feeling that. Can't put my finger on it. But, you know, anytime that we feel stuff like that, you just got to take it to God in prayer, and you just got, because every time you go within, you always get the victory. You know, anytime that you go and you press into God amidst the external things that you might face or feel, it's in that time that His presence is just so strong. And even if you don't feel it, you know, people go so much by their feelings. No, don't go by your feelings. He's promised He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll always be with you. So, you know, when it's not based on feelings, it's based on the truth of who He is and what He said. He has exalted His word even above Himself. So God would sooner... when God says it, He does it. So that's the rub of that. So when He said He would never leave us or forsake us, then that means He's never leaving me nor forsaking me. I can choose of my own free will to walk away from Him, but He won't walk away from me. He won't leave me. So as long as I choose to stay close to Him, to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, I know that I'm on that path of remaining in oneness with Him, despite what I might feel or what I might experience in this life, and the things that are going on around me. And going on around me, they are. But that's fine, because they can't get within. They buzz and hum and look for access and scream and shout and offer honey and do whatever they do, but it's still all without. Within, in Christ Jesus, there is a sea of tranquility and peace and stillness within your soul, no matter what is going on. When Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, I give not as the world gives." When Jesus said that, you got to keep in mind the context of where He was. He was, you know, being hounded and everybody was coming after Him for all kinds of different things prior to the cross too. And Jesus is talking about peace. So obviously not the peace of the world that the world seeks, which is a cessation of hostilities. No, Jesus talks about that internal serenity amidst external turmoil. You can have that. And anytime that anything in your life feels a bit stirred or a bit turbulent, you just go within. And you go into that place where He has created for you to just, that's yours, that's your birthright, is to be at peace. It's your birthright in Christ Jesus to be in oneness with the Father, for there to be no separation between you and Him. You know, that's why the devil, who comes to rob, steal, kill and destroy, he works so darn hard to rob you of your birthright, to separate you from God, to separate you from the Father, and to tell you that you can't. You, in all of your mistakes and things and externally, that you can't be one with a holy God. Of course, in and of yourself, you can't. But through the finished work of Christ Jesus, you can. The just shall live by faith. You trust him, and he makes all things right. You follow him, and he does the work, not you. If you were good enough or you could do it by yourself, there would be no need for Christ to have done what he did. No way. If there was any other way beside the cross, then God would have done that. Because who would save the world by having his son killed? You know, not a one of us. But this is God's way for our redemption, for our salvation, and the price that was necessary to be paid, and the way that God was also able to show and to demonstrate the depth of his love for you and for I, and how much he loves us, how much he desires for all eternity for us to be with him. So, yes, we're born into this world a particular way, because yes, you and I are born into these bodies that because of the fall have corruption built in into your flesh. Yeah, okay. Newsflash, your flesh doesn't get born again, so you know, and we're only in it for a window of time. So what you do is you bring your flesh under subjection, you make it obedient to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and you, your spirit and your soul, tell your flesh what it will do. You tell it what it will do and what it won't do. And your flesh becomes your slave. Your flesh becomes your servant. You don't serve your flesh. See, the worlders, they get everything backwards. They serve their flesh. Whereas we serve spirit. We serve spirit, and out of that life of the spirit, we let this mind be in us that is also in Christ Jesus. Our soul is submitted to the working of the Spirit of God, and out of that, we then tell the flesh what it will do. I had a cool brother write in for the first time recently. God bless you, brother, and you know who you are. And he was asking some questions about stuff like this. And you know, for my young friends out there, you know, and I'm still young. Yes, thank God. But I've been tracking a little bit in this. I tell you what, things that'll help, you know, exercise helps, you know, disciplining yourself and bringing your body under subjection helps. You know, I know that temptation is there and it's strong for escapism, for alcohol, substance abuse, all kinds of things like that. You know, just the desire to want to get out. But here's the problem with some of those things. Sure, it's there, and it does give a certain effect for a window. But when you sober up, your problem is there again. And so, you know, to find healthy releases, healthy ways of channeling and funneling your energy, and of also dealing with the things that you face, it's a good thing, you know, and God will help you in that. God will direct you in that. So I know for myself, you know, just keeping a decent exercise schedule as such has been a huge blessing for me, because, you know, it has given me, you know, it's given me a place to put energy and to put it into something positive for myself that only helps my body to be an asset and not a liability. You know, as we're in a very amazing time right now in the world, you want your physical body to be a tool that is in the hands of the Creator that He can use as He wishes. So rather than your body being, you know, a liability and a stumbling block to you, something that you're always apologizing for, You don't have to. See, that's just it. You know, and the thing is, too, is that this stuff, it's not the quick fix that most people want. It's a progression. And so, you know, make certain decisions and go on those. You know, if you, you know, there's certain just kind of natural laws that are there, you know, that God has put in place that, you know, gravity works. You reap what you sow, that it just works. You know, there's just certain things that, like, they're out there that God has put there. And it's to your benefit to understand what those are and then to work in conjunction with the way that God has put things. And so even, you know, with your physical being, you know, there's a certain way that you can treat it where it will, you know, with time become your slave, your servant, and not your master like most of the people in the world are run by. So, you know, yeah, it's a discipline, though. And that's what part of it is to be a disciple. Is a disciple of Christ Jesus is a disciplined person. We're soldiers in the body of Christ. And we do that will that the Father has for us. So, but yeah, you know, the other thing, too, is realize that for my brothers that write in, realize, look, your struggle is common to all. And God is aware of the struggles that you face, that we all face. And He's given us means and ways to overcome in all situations and in all things. So, no stress, you know, just one step at a time, one day at a time. And you, if you make a commitment to a certain way that God works with you, He's definitely going to help you. You know, also, you know, make certain decisions about, you know, what you'll do and how you'll do it, what you'll see, what you'll allow to be in front of your eyes. You know, Job talked about, I think it's 33, Job 33, verse 1, where he said that he made a covenant with his eyes not to look a certain way on a woman. It, you know, it's, he understood certain things about guarding your heart, for out of it comes the issues of life. And he made that part of his life and his practice. And, you know, these are individual decisions that you make. See, this is where we get past all the religious jargon that most people say is good enough, where, you know, that whole religious crap where they're like, don't go to movies, but then the same pastor has a massive DVD collection. Yeah, that kind of thing. he's still, you know, got all the same things raging inside, but he hasn't dealt with them, but he puts a nice shirt on and goes to church and preaches about something he read in some book somewhere. Much rather to deal with these things that are going on within and to bring them into the light. See, here's what happens. When you bring every area of your life into the light in Christ Jesus and you expose it to the light of Christ, and you're like, Lord, this is what's going on. This is where I'm at. This is what I'm struggling with. Then you give Him the opportunity to have lordship over those things. But as long as you hold it and hide it in some little dark corner and you nurse that thing, it grows just like a fungus. And because it grows, funguses and all those kind of things, they grow in the dark. They grow in those little spots that haven't been exposed to the light. So if you want to be free, bring your entire life into the light of Christ. Hide nothing from Him. Expose every area of your life to Him. And see what He does with that. So, you know, I've found that, you know, for myself, that as I open up every area of my life to Him, whatever it may be, there's freedom then in that area. And as you open up, and as I've opened up every part of my life to Him, there's freedom in every area. And, you know, in the times that we do mess up, to immediately take that before Him and to repent, to bring that before Him and to repent. Don't hide it. Don't hide your sin. Don't hide whatever it is. But take that before Him and bring it into the light and repent. You know, repentance is always, you know, doing what you got to do to get on track with Him, to turn and to redirect and to, I mean, you bring it, you confess your sin before Him and He's just to forgive you. But in that thing too, it's not, it's this focus on, you don't want to go that way. You don't want that to be part of your life. You want Him. And anything that comes between you and your walk with Him, you know it's got to go. And you desire nothing in this life more than Him. And there's victory in that. You know, He'll help you. If you know, one thing I've noticed too is as the longer that I keep walking with Him, that, you know, if you just go for a window of time and you look back, you'll see that the things that, you know, at one point in time were difficult for you, the things that were at one point in time struggles for you, those sort of melted off of you. And now you've got a whole new set of struggles. You've got a whole new set of challenges. But they're not those old things. Those old things now will seem petty to you. They'll just seem like small stuff. Now you're dealing with a lot. You know, you wonder how those little things before seem to consume so much of your thinking and your thoughts and your mind. And you thought those were the end of the world. And you realize now those are peanut issues compared to what it is that you're dealing with today. And likewise, give it a little bit more time and the big problem you're facing today will seem like trivial compared to what it is that you will be tackling a year from now. So, yeah, no, it's a good thing. You know, it is a good thing to walk with the Father. It is a good thing to walk with Christ now, right now. Not something in the future, not something in some distant, you're hoping that something's gonna kinda happen somewhere along the way. Maybe if you're just good enough and you just know, He is I Am. Today is the day of salvation. All has been, the way has been paved through Christ Jesus. The veil has been rent in two. It's all done. You can step into eternity now. And you can experience the eternal reality of knowing your Father and being in oneness with Him at this very moment. And experience, how about this? Experience the rest of your natural life in complete oneness with the Spirit of God as His ambassador in the earth, doing His will, fulfilling the plan and purpose that He made and designed you for. Till you check out and leave behind the suit that you need to be in, which is your flesh, the suit you need to be in to be able to function in this paradigm. And you go on into your eternal reality, your eternal self, in the new body that Christ has prepared for you. Doesn't that sound like a way you would like to spend your time while you're in the earth? Well, okay, it's available, so what's keeping you from that? Aha! Aha! Good time to throw away your Joyce Meyer's books. good time to throw out the Joel Osteens and the Rick Warrens and the purpose-driven purpose-driven life. Yeah, you know, God spoke to me about that whole thing. The only statement I got in regard to that when that stuff came out was, he says, man drives cattle, I lead sheep. That was it. That was enough for me. I was like, okay, Lord, I got you. I see where this is coming from. Good enough. I don't need much more. See, when God pronounces a verdict to me about something, it's done. I know where something's coming from. I know what people are about. It's enough. What more does he have to say about something? You know, when God rejects something, when he reveals it for being false, for being man-made and humanist and driven by something else, do you think you need a second opinion on that? You know, but you know, the problem is, I think too often, is the people of God, because again, you're nice people. The people of God, we let stuff slide so often. You know, we allow things to be and to exist. You know, we just don't call things for what they are when we need to. And the problem is that, you know, because we don't, it gives a degree of, because they're not challenged on these certain things, it gives a degree of, I don't want to say legitimacy, but because people don't hear that other side that needs to be said about that, they think, oh, okay, so that must be Jesus too. For the people that are kind of in the middle and kind of wish-washy and they've got a foot in the world and they're looking for something that sort of pleases that desire. And absolutely, if you've got itching ears, you will find something that will tell you you're just fine. You can find somebody that if you pay them, they'll tell you. This is part of the reason why, you know, with even this, the broadcast we do here, whatever you want to call it, why we do this as a service. Because we're not beholden to people. We just will put out whatever it is the Father gives us to say, to write, to rebroadcast, if it be a brother or sister that we're laboring with as well, to put that out there too, to create that information that'll help you in this journey. And to do it in a way, freely you have received, now freely give, is the way that God puts it to us. We don't sell the gospel. You can't, because you know what the thing is? You can't sell this stuff and then not get tainted. Don't sell the truth. Because it gets tainted in the process. You know, Peter speaking to Simon the sorcerer, and he offered him money to be able to lay his hands on people and be able to give the gift of the Holy Ghost through that act. And Simon said, you know, perish your money with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money? Yeah, along those lines. This is not for sale. Nope. No. Though this is priceless, what it is that we do, it's not for sale. The blood of Jesus can't be bottled and packaged and sold. No. The most valuable thing in everything, the blood of Christ. And the life of the Son of God. And yet he gives it for the propitiation, the substitution sacrifice necessary, the remission of sins, and for us to be restored and bought and brought back to the Father. But yeah, you can't buy it. See, the world can't compute, because the world is constantly buying and selling. And it, you know, they, oh man, that Babylonian satanic church structure, they want to sell this. Oh gosh, they're chomping at the bit to sell this. Yeah, it's sad to see what happens to those guys. You know, I was on that track. There was a window of time I was on that track. I was going down that way because that was part of the training that I had. That was part of my mind control. This is the way that you're supposed to go. If you love God, then you will either be a pastor or a missionary, because those are the only two options you had, by the way. And so I really loved God, so I became a missionary pastor. I did the whole thing. And along the way, by not being what God had intended for me to be, and by going down a certain line that man instructed me was the way that I should go, I was miserable. Miserable in the service to the service to God as such, which is really, in retrospect now, though God knew, you know, where I was coming from in that, it was service to religion and to man-made expectations of me, and not to God. Although God does use those things, and now knowing where they're coming from, oh man, you guys... at some point I just need to tell you a little bit more of some of my background, but I've seen the inside, the guts of some of the just so much of what this world esteems as and calls and thinks is God, but then you realize it's not. When you've seen it on the inside and you know what it is. You know, there was not today, he is the head pastor of one of the largest churches as such, world, in the world's definition of it. And his statement to me, you know, years ago was, his statement was, okay, you know, in the backroom conversations, was, you know, this denomination, here, this is him, you know, this denomination, that it's like Noah's Ark. It stinks on the inside, but it's the best thing afloat. Yuck, yuck, close bracket. So ultimately, you know, it took me a little while to figure it out. Ultimately, what he was telling me was that they were full of shit. And, you know, and they were fine with that. For him to admit in so many words that was... Now, this is their this is your Ted Haggards of Asia, mind you. These are your leaders as such of the systems that they accept that fact. And you know what? Here's the thing. You think that, you think it's the best thing afloat? I'm sorry. You know, God has rejected that stuff. He's moved on. Where God was doing a movement, they built up a monument. And they built a monument and God kept moving. You know, that whole thing where Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John were with him, and and Moses and Elijah appear, and Jesus is transfigured in their midst, and Peter, not knowing what to say, says, "Lord, it's good for us to be here." And he says, "Let's build three tabernacles, three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." And because he didn't know what to say. Now, Jesus didn't, he kept moving, and they went down into the valley. Now, the denominations, nope, they built those tabernacles right there. And Jesus has kept moving. But they, now, they've already built them, and they've got to pay that lease. And they've got to pay that overhead, and they've got to pay that cleaning crew and that staff that's got to go in there on Saturdays and all the other stuff. So now they're like, well, how do we keep this thing going? And now they got to invite everybody up the hill to the tabernacle. Come see the tabernacle of the Transfiguration. Come see the tabernacle of the amazing miracle of the Lord Jesus when he was transfigured right here. Jesus was transfigured right here, and this right here is the spot where Moses stood and Elijah stood right over here, and come see it, and God has moved on. Jesus has moved on a long time ago. He's not there. Nope, you've got your guided tour. Put your $5 in at the door in that little slot. Walk through, pay your penance at these stations. Maybe there's a residual. Maybe there's a little breadcrumb. Something that might have fallen off. Some spiritual residue that you can just get a little piece of. Keep you going for another week. Keep you going for another month. Oh, I know. Why don't we, there's a little river over there. Why don't we just put it in little tiny bottles and put a little cork on it. We'll sell it to you on the way out the door for $10 a bottle. After all, it's from the River Jordan, right? Maybe you drink it. Oh, drink it. Drink it. There you go. Drink that Jordan water. Then something. And yeah. Bath water. Jesus was baptized in it. Yeah, right. Okay, sure. Do you realize how ridiculous all this stuff is? Oh, man, all the cloths and the sand and the this and the that. Get your name put on a special brick. Memorial. Something. Anything. Please. Please. Oh, God, please give me a crumb. What are you asking for a crumb for? You're a son and a daughter of the living God, redeemed by the blood of Christ, which is beyond price, beyond measure, so that you can sit down at his table for all eternity, sit down in his presence, boldly come before the throne of grace. Who made you a beggar? Who made you a pauper? Who made you have to come and sit and make it by 5 o'clock? Better make it there by 7:45. No. Look, if you want to go, go. If you don't want to go, don't go. Doesn't make you any worse or any better. What you need to do is walk with him. What you need to do is trust him. What you need to do is be what he made you to be. Remain in oneness with his spirit. No separation between you and the Father. You know, you're the one that chooses it. If you want to be apart from him, you'll have that. If you want to be with him, you'll have that too. He desires that you would know the fullness that he came for you to have in this life, at this time, the abundant life. It's not something far away. It's to be had now. You know, I'm just starting to see some things. And I'm like, they've always been there. Why didn't I see it before? Why didn't I recognize it before? It was always there. But now it's like, of course. Yes, I'm one in him, of course. There's no separation between me and the Father. Of course, I got it. So when people see me and I'm one in Him, they see a reflection of Christ. That is what it means to be a Christian, quote unquote. You know the word Christian? The first time the word was coined in the scriptures as such was in the church at Antioch. And the reason that they were called Christians is because they all looked like Christ. They acted like Him. They talked like Him. And the people that knew anything about Christ and had been around Him before, they were like, these guys are just like Christ. They're like little Christs running around. They don't reflect who they maybe once were. They reflect Him. So you got all these little Christs running around, and they're like, well, they're little Christs. They're Christians. They're Christians. That's what it is to be a Christian. You don't call yourself a Christian. Someone else calls you a Christian. Someone else calls you that because you reflect Christ. Nowadays, they would call you something else. They probably wouldn't call you a Christian because that label has lost its meaning. Now they would call you something else. I don't know what they would call you, actually. I've got a lot of names they've thrown in my way, but it's okay. Terms of endearment. Sticks and stones. Sticks and stones could hurt, yeah, probably. Break my bones. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. La la la. La 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 la. Tisk tisk, silly worlders, don't you get it? Don't you understand? You're on the wrong side. You're on the wrong side. Oh gosh, have you guys seen that movie? Okay, have you seen that movie, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? Okay. Oh, if you haven't seen it, you gotta watch it. John Candy and Steve Martin, classic movie. But one part of that movie, they just through a comedy set of errors, they end up on the wrong side of this two-lane highway, on this four-lane highway, and they're on the other side, and they're literally going like at 80 miles an hour in the wrong direction, and there's a car that's on the other side of the freeway that's driving at the same time that they're driving. And they see them, and they're on the wrong side. Those other guys are on the wrong side. And so those guys in that car are screaming out of the side of their windows at John Candy and Steve Martin. They're like, you're going the wrong way. John Candy and Steve Martin they're like, how do they know where we're going? They're like, thank you. They pretend like they show a sign that those guys are drinking. They're like, no, you're going the wrong way. And they keep trying to scream, and they're like, they don't know where we're going. And they're like, you're going the wrong way. You're gonna kill somebody. You're on the wrong side. So anyways, and then finally, you know, there's just a moment where Steve Martin just realizes, oh my God, and like he actually realizes what they're trying to tell him. And that's right before they get sandwiched between two semis coming the other way, and just scrapes the side of their cars to oblivion. But they make it out okay. But yeah, that's kind of sometimes how I feel, you know, with these worlders, that I feel a little bit like the people on the other side of the freeway saying to these guys on the other side, you're going the wrong way. Trying to help them, trying to, and you know, while they adjust and throw insults back at me, I'm still trying to help them because they are up for a massive wreck in the very near future. And yeah, so anyways, funny movie, very funny movie. You got to watch it. You're going the wrong way. So all you worlders out there, you're going the wrong way. And the life that will be lost is your own. Now, the blood of Christ is sufficient for your redemption, for your salvation. But it has to be applied. And you have to bow your knee before the King of Kings. Repent and be saved. Repent, be baptized in the name of Christ Jesus for the remission of your sins. Why not? Why not? You've tried the world. It sucked. It doesn't work. You're still empty. Why not? What are you waiting around there for? You're all slaves. They're all boring. There's no substance among them at all. These conversations are so dull. Gosh. I mean, to talk with a worlder for 15 minutes, it's a toss-up between that and going to the dentist. I mean, the things that... Look, none of the stuff that they think is impressive impresses me. None of the things that they try to say that would, in their own system, give some validation to their existence, they mean nothing to me. Why? Because in Christ you realize what's really important. And then out of what's really important, you live your life. So when you realize that the rest of it is fluff and stupid, then when they try to talk to you about it, it's like, okay, so this is fluff and stupid. I know it's important to you. I can obviously see that. It's really, really important to you. That's why you got to bring it up and you have really want to try. And so, okay, sure, say what you got to say. Are you done yet? You know, can we move on to something that has any substance at all? I can't get back that last 15 minutes of my life. But it's okay. Because, you know, we're not on time. We are eternal beings. However, I would like to use the window of time that I do have in this life unto the purposes and plans that God has and not waste it. Because, you know, that's one thing the world will try to do, is it will try very hard to waste your time as well. It wants to get your soul, it wants to scalp your soul, and it also wants to waste your time in meaningless pursuits, in stupid endeavors, and around people that will try to suck you dry and to take that which is within, which God has put inside of you. So, but when you see what the game is, game over. That's 80% of it is exposure. As soon as things are exposed for what they are and drug into the light, that last 20% is then just dealing with it for what it is, in practical steps and practical ways. But the bulk of it is done as soon as you realize it for what it is. Then it's game over. That's the thing. It's like that Wizard of Oz, you know, where there's the second that the dog pulls back the curtain and shows the guy that's hiding behind there, it's like, it's over. Now the whole illusion's been shattered. He is not the great and powerful Wizard of Oz with all the smoke and fire and the holographic head. He's just this... he's just the devil. That's just who he is. He's just, okay, you know, that's what you are. That's what you're doing. Gotcha. Sure. Okay. Prince of the power of the air. Gotcha. Trying to bring together your world system. Okay. Sure. Fine. Fine, got your sellouts and your slaves that you've bought with that which you offer them in your system. Okay, fine, sure, whatever. Are you done yet? Okay, now, as for me and for my brothers and sisters in Christ, well, we serve the King of Kings. We serve the Lord of Lords. We serve the one who the reality of the matter is that all authority on heaven and on earth has been given unto Him. And in Him we live and move and have our being. And in Him we exist during the rest of our duration in this life. So you want to play? Well, okay. So this is what you're dealing with. And that's why, too, you know, it's good, brothers and sisters, that we're scattered around the world and that, you know, we're put in the places that God has for us, because there would be zero challenge, zero growth if we didn't have the tests the way that they are already. You know, we have to be tested. We have to be stretched. We needed an enemy to do what he's doing. Because in that process, you become strong. And you realize a little bit more of the God that you serve. See, for you and I, when we come up against these powers of, spiritual wickedness in high places. I mean, look, think of it. Here's Daniel praying in prayer, and his prayers in the dimensions and in the war going on in the heavenlies. You've got the prince of Persia, the demonic power governing over that region of the world, and the fight that's taking place in that dimension based on the prayers even of one man who had moved into the position of who he was supposed to be in Christ and who he was supposed to be in God at that time, in that place, in that way. And we have in Christ in this window of time, because of the blood of Christ that was shed and what has been accomplished, we have more to work with than our brother Daniel did. So when you move into that and you have a revelation of the power that God has put in you, and you move into that, oh wow, the devil would do anything to keep you from realizing that in this window of time. You know what he wants? He wants for the followers of Christ to not realize that, to then die and leave this world, go on to be with Christ, and at that place to realize, oh my gosh, you mean this was available to me during my lifetime? And I never accessed it. I never used it. I never shifted into that thing that God had made available to me. And it was right there. That's what he wants. If he can't drag you to hell, that's what he wants for you then. So when you actually shift into what it is that God has put in you, and the power, yes, there is power available for God's people. Oh my gosh, is there power available for us? It is the world's power is like it's not even a 9-volt battery. It's like one of those AAA batteries, and where we are surpassed any nuclear reactor, any bolt of lightning, the comparison, you can't even compare. Their power on its best day, fully utilized, all their demonic hordes, all of their rituals conducted, all of the times, you know, windows and of star alignments and all those things coordinated, and all of their illegitimate babies being sacrificed and all their symbolisms and everything, all that stuff. They put it all together and trumped by one prayer of one 12-year-old girl who knows the God that she serves and binds them in Jesus' name and casts all of it out, rips their rituals to shred in the power of the Spirit of God, and unleashes that angelic assignment to destroy and dispatch those demons for what they are. Out. Light is shining. They can't put it out. Over. Finished. Done. So that's why when all you've got is a AAA battery, you've got to work on the mind. You've got to work on the mind. That's about the only way that they can try to fight at this stage. Because they can't fight on the level of power. No, they can't. You know, I mean, God allows them to do their build-up, though. He allows them to amass their forces, to get all of their stuff in place, to work out their technology, to do all of these things. And as soon as they get their 186,000 soldiers outside the door and blaspheming God and saying what they're going to say, just one night, he just sends an angel through their camp and wipes out 186,000. Done. Finished. Gone. Goodbye. Their leader wakes up in a sea of corpses and runs home, tail between his legs, to be slaughtered by his own two sons. Yeah, big talker. All bark. But on the day when God calls his bluff, no bite. See, that's the thing, too. Yeah, that guy representative of Assyria in the Old Testament and the attack against Hezekiah and the people of God. Up until that moment, he had steamrolled cities. He had gone through plenty of kings, but he hadn't come up against the living God. He'd just come up against dead idols. Other worlders that weren't as powerful as he was. Other worlders his witchcraft trumped theirs. His demonic allegiances trumped theirs. So he got kind of cocky. But the day that they cross the living God, God only needs to send out a shepherd boy with a staff and five smooth stones and a sling to take you out. He can take the least in his army any day and shame and destroy their champion. So, my brothers and my sisters out there, look, you have just realized that the God that lives in you, the Spirit of the living God, you alone walking with Christ is enough to change this world. To change what's going on around you. To change everything. Everything. And you know, also along those lines too, the change is within. You know, when you go within with Christ, there is... What happens is you may be in a set of external situations and circumstances, and they may be rough and all the stuff is going on, but when you go within, you know what happens? The externals don't change, but you change. In the middle of the situation, you change. And now that which was a hindrance, that which was a burden, that which was a struggle is no longer a hindrance or a burden or a struggle. In fact, now what happens is that very thing, your prison cell of 5 minutes ago becomes your place where you are worshiping and praising God now. Because your situation hasn't changed, you have changed in the situation. That is the mystery of Acts 16. That I learned that one. I learned that one while I was in India. It was years ago, but I was in a rough spot. And I was like, all right, Lord, this is hard. And it was tough for me. And in the middle of that situation, God revealed that mystery of Acts 16 to me. And which would not have been revealed to me in any other way. So I thank God for the adversity. I thank God for the experience. And in that, the externals didn't change. I changed. I changed because I went within to the place where the victory is, which is the kingdom. We're the place where we overcome, which is in the kingdom. In Christ Jesus, we are overcomers. So when you're in Him, you overcome whatever the situation is that's around you. Trust, trust, trust Him. Faith and trust, it's the same thing. So, yes, we're good. It's all good in Christ Jesus. So trust, hey, don't worry about a thing. Do not worry about anything. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. In all things with prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God. Peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart in Christ Jesus. Love you guys very much. So God bless you. Love you. I'll talk to you again soon. All right. Bye.